And the clock has run out. LSU is the college football national champion, 42-25 over the Clemson Tigers. The coaches meet at midfield, a pat on the shoulder from Dabo Swinney to Ed Orgeron. Confetti and fireworks now inside the Superdome.
That's what it's all about. I grew up wanting to be the head coach at LSU. I'm so proud for the state of Louisiana. We've had support from the governor, from the president, from everybody that loves LSU. I'm just so happy for the people from Louisiana. But you got to give the credit to this football team, man. They've been working for 1 year. They deserve this day.
Ed O is a national champion. But meanwhile, some news for LSU. Joe Brady, their passing game coordinator, the innovator who came in and turned Joe Burrow from a 50% passer to a 70% passer and the Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Brady leaving LSU to go to the Carolina Panthers, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. I don't know why the Bengals don't just hire Joe Brady. If Joe Burrow played so well under Joe Brady and he wants to go back to the NFL, why wouldn't the Bengals hire Joe Brady when they're going to draft Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you want me to guess? He's making a ton of money.
With Carolina?
With LSU, but yeah, with Carolina. And they're probably not that excited about, you know, Cincinnati.
Well, the problem is Cincinnati is they're too cheap to go ahead and fire the coach 1 year into his tenure. But that's exactly what they should do, is they should fire Zach Taylor and they should hire Joe Brady to be the head coach and then draft Joe Burrow to be the quarterback. So that's in there. Then you've got LSU's dominant performance last night against Clemson. You know, how good is LSU? Trevor Maddich joins us, ESPN college football analyst. Trevor, let's start with that breaking news from Adam Schefter, that being Joe Brady leaves LSU for Carolina. Is LSU legit, or is LSU, are we going to remember this one team and then they're going to be back to what they were before this magical season?
No, I think they'll be better for having this magical season. I think you don't stay the same when you lose an all-timer of a quarterback in Joe Burrow. I think he turned in the greatest season by a college passer, not necessarily quarterback overall, because you've got to account for the, how do you compare running quarterbacks and dual threats, but from a standpoint of a passer, I think he turned in the greatest season ever, and they're not going to match that next year. So a little bit of a fall off, I think, would be reasonable to expect. But overall, I think this has elevated them. It's elevated their coach, Ed Orgeron's credibility. The offense won't change much because Steve Esminger is also offensive coordinator, and he's staying. And he was there calling plays and doing all the things in the same room with Joe Brady. So this offense will continue on pretty much the way it is. And I think they'll attract quarterbacks now, much in the way that Oklahoma has attracted quarterbacks in the transfer portal. So I think that LSU, they'll take a little step back, but they'll still be better than they were before.
Trevor, when we look back in 10 years on this LSU team, will we look at them like we look at those Miami Hurricane teams of the early 2000s and say, my God, look at all the players they had on that team. Jamar Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the big guys, the big defensive tackles, Singletary, Delpit, Burrow. Will we look at this LSU team and feel that way 10 years from now?
Yes, we absolutely will. Because of those guys, I think Joe Burrow is as good a prospect at quarterback for the NFL as anybody I've seen since Andrew Luck. And I think he will succeed brilliantly in the NFL because his game is an NFL game. He's not a college quarterback that needs to adjust, and he's not a college quarterback that needs a college-themed scheme in the NFL to be able to do well. And so I think Burrow will be all that's expected of him. I'd be surprised if he's not. Those receivers are ready-made for the NFL. They've got defenders. You mentioned Grant Delpit, the safety. He'll probably be a top-10 pick. But when you look at Derek Stingley Jr., the freshman corner, number 24, he will also be a first-round pick, probably a top-10 pick, and I expect him in the NFL to also be a Pro Bowl-caliber defender. And so when you put all that together, we're going to look back 10 years from now at all the guys from this team that are in the NFL that are making a lot of noise in the NFL, and it will just solidify our impression of how great this team was.
Trev, when you not taking anything away from LSU or the quarterback Burrow, but when you look at Trevor Lawrence, even though he didn't have one of his, you know, special nights, could you project him next year maybe throwing for 60 TDs and doing a bunch of the stuff Burrow's doing now?
It's possible. It depends on what happens with receivers. He's got some juniors that could leave. And some of them may come back because of the taste in their mouth, but some of them might bug out. I think it might be good for them to stay just because this year is an all-timer of a draft year for wide receivers. I mean, a lot of first-round talents at wide receiver will be going in the second and even third round this year because of that. So I don't know if you'd want to join that crowded field. So it depends on receiver. You know, he's got four of his five offensive linemen are leaving. The one that's returning is Carmen Jackson, the left tackle, who was actually the top recruit out of the state of Ohio. Clemson snagged him away from Ohio State. But the other four guys are gone. And so, you know, the team around him needs to rise to that level in order for Trevor Lawrence to be able to do those things.
What do you see in Clemson for next year? I'm curious. I mean, I read the thing this morning. I saw the thing. They're already picked as number one for next year.
They are. Vegas has them at number one. Mark Schlabaugh has them at number one. It is way too early, top 25 on ESPN.com. And so, yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, they've been putting together top three recruiting classes for a while now. And they probably will have the number one recruiting class again this year. They'll have the quarterback that'll likely be taken number one in the draft next year in Trevor Lawrence. And so there's no reason to think that they won't be able to repeat as national champions. But if you ask me who I think will be national champions, way too early as we sit here a day removed from this year's national championship game, I think it's Alabama. I mean, Alabama lost two games. One to LSU, an all-timer of a great team, by 5 points with a quarterback who was 2 weeks removed from ankle surgery. And then they lost at Auburn by 3 points with the backup quarterback who threw two pick sixes. This is Alabama's season. That's why they didn't make the playoffs. And hell hath no fury like a Nick Saban team scorned. I think Alabama will come back, fill that quarterback position capably, although not as good as Tua, but it'll be a good quarterback situation. And they will lay waste to everybody in a sheer run of vengeance.
Trevor Maddich with us, ESPN college football analyst. Other than LSU, what was the biggest surprise in your opinion this season? I will go with Jalen Hurts and what he did at Oklahoma. I mean, I think that, like, we think about the national title game and all of that, but it was pretty impressive that Jalen Hurts, who was a backup at Alabama at the end, was in the Heisman even discussion this season at Oklahoma. What was it for you?
You know, that's a good one. Jalen Hurts, a Heisman finalist. Right? And Tua wasn't. Of course, that was because Tua got hurt. My biggest one, I think, goes to the other side of it. I mean, the positive was Minnesota. Minnesota turned out to be for real. And, I mean, good for them, rowing the boat up there in the frozen, Pacific, not even Pacific Northwest, in the frozen almost Canada. So good for Minnesota. But my biggest surprise is that Georgia's passing offense was completely non-existent and then got worse. The only receiver they had that you could trust at all was Lawrence Cager, the transfer from Miami, and then he had injury problems. Then they had a bunch of other young guys who were highly recruited, very talented, but never really gelled from a chemistry standpoint with their quarterback, Jake Fromm. And Fromm is a guy that needs to beat defenses with his mind and with his arm, where he doesn't have the physicality of Joe Burrow, but he does have the ability to hit a spot on time. And then the receiver has to get there. LSU's receivers got there. Georgia's inexperienced receivers, except Cager, did not get there. And they never did get there. And because of that, this was basically a one-legged stool all year of an offensive attack. All they could do is run the ball. And that really surprised me that they didn't get better.
What do you make of the state of Mississippi and their two new coaches?
Oh, Floyd, how fun is this going to be? So Ole Miss gets Lane Kiffin, the ultimate Saban tweaker, right? The ultimate guy to poke Saban in the ear with his thumb and mess with him. And whether Saban ignores him or not, it doesn't matter. Everybody else is going to enjoy the attempt. And, you know, he's a guy that really brought a lot of immediate cachet and pizzazz to Ole Miss. And that lasted for a matter of weeks until Mississippi State hired Mike Leach away from Washington State. So now you've got a guy that has eclipsed Lane Kiffin in success as a head coach and in the press conference. Nobody beats Mike Leach in the press conference. If there's two press conferences going on a Tuesday, Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, no one's watching Lane Kiffin. And it has nothing to do with any inadequacy of Kiffin. It's because Leach is awesome telling stories, you know, going off on tangents, talking about whether or not he believes Bigfoot is real, and then supporting it with data. I mean, it's amazing. Are there little green men? Ask him that. He'll tell you what he thinks, and then he'll support it with data. In all seriousness, I mean, the guy is just amazing, and he's a winner. Now we finally get to see what I've wanted in bowl games for a long time, Mike Leach and his mature version of the ultimate air raid offense against Nick Saban's defense. I cannot wait to see this.
Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst. Last one before we let you go. What happens? Do the Titans pull off the victory against the Chiefs this weekend? What do you think?
No, they don't. I want them to. I want them to so badly, and I'm rooting so hard for them. But I can't shake the first game they played in Week 10 against the Chiefs in Nashville, where they won that game, but they had two non-offensive touchdowns, and the Chiefs still outgained them. They had more first downs, and you know it was making big individual plays that got it done for the Titans, and I don't know that you can count on them doing that again.
Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst. As always, Trev, we appreciate you this season, and we will get you rocking and ready for draft time whenever that time comes soon. Good to talk to you, Trev.
Thanks, Trev.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you. Trevor Maddox, ESPN college football analyst, joining us here on the program. Speaking of ESPN analysts, Sean Payton was a guest analyst on ESPN. And guess what he said about the Titans? It's very flattering. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.